This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three-man front.
In the SEC tomorrow, you've got Auburn playing host to Ole Miss right here on the Jocks Network at 6 o'clock. Alabama travels the return visit to Starkville to take on a Mississippi State team that got beat by Texas A&M. And for Nate Oates, right there where you're ranked as far as the net rankings go at number 40, continuing to win. We talked to Sean Farnham about it from ESPN earlier in the show, Aaron, and there is still that chance that Alabama could be that team. If we're talking about a fifth team out of the SEC, a fifth team, because right now only four projected seeds from the Southeastern Conference, the makeup of this Alabama basketball team, based on how they can shoot it from outside, I know they don't have much of an inside presence, but that might be the team now that I have the most confidence in that could make some noise, get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament.
If they got there, I could understand that. To get there, though, they're going to have to, as you mentioned, they're going to have to go on the road and beat a Mississippi State team that is much like Alabama. Looks great 1 week, and then not so much the next. And then they would have to host South Carolina, and we know what kind of challenge that can be at times. You think that Vanderbilt should be a given, but that's at home, and Alabama has had sleeping games at home where they don't wake up, and then they go to Missouri. If they win those games, they're 11-7 in conference. They're 19-12 overall. They'll be somewhere probably around 35-38 in the net rankings. And then it just comes down to it. But, how could you have any confidence this team's going to win the next four?
Oh, you can't.
You can't.
No, it's been night and day with this basketball team. They can look as good as they looked on the road in Oxford, Mississippi, not an easy place to play. And they win by 25, but then you have the home losses to Texas A&M. Some of the ones that they drop.
The ones that got away. Where they've had leads, and that's the thing that I think is the most frustrating part for Nate Oates. And you heard him talk about they were up pretty big against Ole Miss, and Ole Miss made five consecutive shots. And Nate Oates said that, I call a timeout there. There have been times where he let his team play through it, and they blew big leads. Florida was one. Tennessee.
They actually got up on
another.
Auburn. They're in Auburn on the road. I know that they had the blowout win the first time.
So he said this time, I took a timeout to get my team collected, because there's been times he let them play through it and it didn't work out. So to him, it's also him about him learning the chemistry makeup of his team and their mental makeup. So we forget it is a coach in his first season at Alabama, but they have the makeup. You talk about, yeah, they could get to the second weekend. The way they shoot it, they could beat anybody. At this point, though, they got a lot of work to do to get in.
Meanwhile, there's Auburn. They have not lost very many leads. They have overcome large deficits. That's kind of been this team and their character and how we identify them. They don't shoot the ball particularly well. They do make shots in these comebacks when they have to make them. Devin Cambridge with, three-pointers on Saturday. You had Samir Dowdy stepping up and hitting shots when he had to.
Yeah, those two were the only ones that hit more than 1 3. They both hit three in the game. So they're going to need more of that. They're going to need different individuals step up and hit more threes, because under that little losing streak that they had with Missouri and Georgia, that was the biggest problem. They could not find their way from downtown, especially the 1-for-17 performance at Missouri. But I think the good news is you have obviously two more home games. With Mississippi and Texas A&M, we know what playing at Rupp is going to be. It didn't really matter what year that is or what Auburn is or what Auburn's done. That's not going to be one that a lot of people like Auburn going to Rupp Arena and being able to come away with a W win. So whatever, that is what it is. I think the key game will be at Tennessee to finish the season. This is a Tennessee team that's probably going to believe they can beat Auburn. Just had Auburn on the ropes. They'll be at home. They're probably going to need a win just for their resume to look good. They're going to think that one can really boost their resume. What is the status of Isaac Okoro in that game? Because you want to get him some minutes before the tournament begins, but yet you also want him to be healthy. So if it's 50-50, if it's borderline, you probably sit him. And then he has a little bit more rest before the tournament begins. So it's going to be interesting to watch sort of how he's handled down the stretch. And then obviously this A&M team, what they just did in Tuscaloosa last week, looks like one that they may be sort of finding their way, so that could be a more difficult matchup than some of us believe. But it looks like a very manageable schedule the rest of the way. They're going to have to shoot well from behind the three-point line no matter what, because we've seen when they don't, they really struggle.
All right, it's now time for our train hot and cold of the weekend. It's hard to stop a train. The hot for me, guys, is Wisconsin Herd of the G League head coach Chase Buford. He was hot after they played Grand Rapids this weekend. Here's audio from one Chase Buford.
The officiating definitely went right for Grand Rapids. That was as unprofessional as an officiating performance. And I hope you tweet this out and tag the league, because that was embarrassing. Matt Rafferty is a That being said, we have to be so much better at the end of games. We can't blow a 21-point lead with 12 minutes to go. However bad and biased and unfair and illegal and cheating the referees are, we have to be better closing games. And so that's the way I feel.
How do you really feel, Chase?
That is, that's going hard in the paint.
Hey, guys, the best thing about this, though, when you watch the video, look at his hair. He literally looks like he just tried to pull out all of his hair. And just standing up, he looks like a madman. That's good audio. All right, what about the hot for you, Aaron?
Hot for me is Oxford, Mississippi, where this happened.
Tell you what, that's looking good. That's looking really good. Ah, Miss Mary Ann!
Oh! What
is happening?
Was 84-year-old Mary Ann Wakefield drains a 94-foot putt on greens that were running about 8:15 on the stint meter. On the hardwood of the pavilion, she drained a 94-foot putt to take home a Nissan Altima. Mary Ann Wakefield. I'm shanking 5-footers. She's out there draining 94-footers to win a Nissan Altima.
How many guys are going to try to replicate her grip now?
Incredible. What's she going to do with that Altima?
Well, I'm guessing drive it?
That's the best thing I saw this weekend.
Hot for me, Mary Beth Gorsuch, LSU softball pitcher. She retired all 21 batters that she faced over the weekend. She struck out 16. That's a perfect game, by the way, if you're scoring at home. None of us really do. She also handled 3 of the 5 fielding attempts that her defense did see in that game. 4-0 win against Belmont for LSU, and a perfect game for Mary Beth Gorsuch. 81 pitches raised her record to 3-1 and lowered her ERA to 0.88 on the season.
Good grief. She's like the king in his court, the guy that used to travel around and they would tour like the minor league baseball parks.
I actually saw them once.
Yeah. And it was the pitcher, and he had, what, like 3 other guys behind him? It wasn't even a full team.
And sometimes he'd throw it blindfolded and throw from second base.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive. All right, guys, the cold for me, man, bless their hearts, Vanderbilt. They host Georgia. They led and controlled the game for 39 minutes. They still led by 5 with 22.5 seconds to go. Leading by 2, had a couple of free throws. They could have sealed it. Well, they didn't. They missed it. Here's the call from ESPN.
He missed them both. It's tipped around. Georgia's got it loose. They're going to have a chance. Deep three at the goal. It's good. And Georgia wins it. Oh, Tyree Crump for the win on the road. A heartbreaking loss for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, another close game for Vandy. The thing is, that was at Memorial Gymnasium. Sounded like a lot of Georgia fans were there.
Well, it was anything like the football game there earlier this year, where I think they had 50,000.
They traveled insane. Well.
Cold for me, Cardale Jones. He had been off to a pretty good start in the XFL. Former Ohio State quarterback yesterday, 13-26. It's not great. 103 yards. Not very good. He didn't throw a touchdown, but he threw 4 interceptions. That's really bad. His team lost 39-9. Against the Los Angeles Wildcats, who had previously not won a game and got their first win on the season. Now, game was on the road, but 13-26 for 103, no touchdowns and 4 picks. Yikes. Cardale Jones was ice cold yesterday for the D.C. Defenders.
And by the way, the attendance was up again, And I think L.A., as far as all of the franchises, their attendance has struggled the most. I think it was down from 14,000 the weekend you guys were there to 12,000 this past week, but still some really good attendance numbers. We'll get into that a little bit later, but St. Louis, where you were yesterday.
It was insane yesterday. It was,
what a cool environment.
Great environment yesterday. Yeah, they were, it was really cool.
Sold it out. And then also Seattle, they still got around 23,000. They had close to 30,000 last week as my Roughnecks, or not Roughnecks, but Renegades went in and took care of business.
Yeah, cold for me, it's really a reaction for the fans of the Atlanta Braves.
What?
Well, you know, they had really formed a bond with Kelsey Wingert, and there's business decisions that have to be made. Kelsey's come out and said her piece about thanking the Braves fans and the Braves for her time as this, the reporter there with the Braves Network, and she's not going to be there. They've made the hire for her replacement, but I don't know that I've ever seen as much outpouring for a sideline announcer as there has been for Kelsey. The way she made the broadcast fun for the fans, the way they connected to her. And anytime that you have that, you seem like you'd want to keep it. And obviously there's considerations I don't know about, don't really care to know about, but I do know for the broadcast and the people who enjoyed it, that's a sad thing that she won't be there anymore.
Yeah, certainly is.
If I said right now in any sport, you had to go into a live major league game, what position do you think you could have the most success with, not including kicker?
Can we include?
And I'm not saying that I think you could have success as a kicker. I think most of us would struggle to make kicks, but I'm just saying that's a completely different deal. What sport, what position could you go in right now and have the most success in, which is probably not going to be much success? And not long snapper. That doesn't count either.
But you're not talking golf here, right?
It's not a sport, so no.
I teed that one up for you.
You did. I would think, just like in Aaron asked where he said bull riding was a sport. I wasn't going to go into it then, but it's okay.
That is not I've done it one time, and that is not something I've wanted to get.
Hey, yeah. Physical activity, but it is not a sport.
I'm thinking maybe right field.
Ooh.
But you have to include hitting. And you're not touching a ball.
Well, I know that, right. But maybe if I do a Henry Rowan Gardner and get barely in the batter's box, and they don't know my, maybe I end up getting hit and plunked.
Like you're just trying to go like Vince Coleman and just like tap one out there?
Maybe,
like,
yeah.
Just like,
no, I'm squaring a bunt every time. I don't know what...
No
what,
way in hell I'm squaring a bunt against a major league fastball.
Time.
What position in the field?
No shot. Take one in the chin? Uh-uh. Not to mention, I'm getting my hacks in.
Yeah, of course
might,
you are.
I might be 4 seconds behind the fastball, but I'm at least I'm going to get the bat off my shoulder. First three pitches, bat off shoulder.
I'll tell you a position.
It's going to look bad, but I'm at least getting my hacks.
As far as baseball, a position I wouldn't want to play is hot corner.
Hot corner? No, I would not want to play third.
It would probably be left field or right
field. I'll tell you the other one is first base.
Uh-uh. No. Nope.
I've seen some of those shortstops get that ball.
I don't want shortstop.
I do not want to try to have to dig some of those balls out of the dirt.
Well, not only that, but shortstop, it's who's covering. So many things you would have to get up to speed on.
What would be if it's the NFL? What would be the last position you chose?
The last position would be probably quarterback.
No way. The last position would have to be defensive tackle or center or guard.
Yeah, but...
You would rather play quarterback in the NFL than defensive tackle?
No, I said it would be the last position I would probably want to play.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I'd get killed. I know that it wouldn't be good up front.
Quarterback, at least you can get the ball out. I mean, hell, you could spike it. Just throw it. Throw fades every time. You're D-tackle, you're catching some double teams. It's coming. No matter what.
I feel
you
like
can't run from it.
But I feel like the officials are going to let him hit me just because they know that
you're
I came
gonna
out.
You're going to get buried.
Yeah.
Buried.
Would he face double teams?
It would feel like it, even if he didn't. Like, just imagine you get Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly.
I'm going dirty tactics there, my friend.
Yeah, dirty boxing's not going to help you there.
No?
You can punch after the bell all you want. It's not going to matter.
It's not.
You're going to lose a spleen, and you're probably going to have fractured vertebrae.
And heaven forbid there be a mess up on the center snap exchange, and there's a scrum by you, and you got to go in and fight to get it.
Oh, they,
I don't think you'd live.
And well, see, no, here,
I don't here's that weight on you.
And here's the other part: we haven't brought up the NBA. And I think the reason is that, like, for me, the sport that I would have the least amount of success with would be any position in hockey, because I can't skate.
Right.
So I'm going to look like a complete clown out there. I couldn't even stay on my feet. Not to mention somebody checking me into the boards.
Cole, like, you're not going to wear skates?
Nope.
Like, you going to check him into the boards? Well, yeah, he's holding on to him the whole time, so it wouldn't be hard. Somebody hits a puck at me, I wouldn't know. I don't know if I could have two hands on a stick. So it would be anything in hockey. But
I could totally see you out there. You would go out there in baseball spikes.
Oh, it would be so bad. It would be so bad. Now, I think we don't bring up the NBA because we just think, well, the chances of serious injury are not great there. But I do believe there may be the most potential for individual embarrassment in the NBA than any other sport.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Whether it's getting dunked on,
mm-hmm.
your ankle's broken,
yep.
your shot blocked, like literally breaking your nose, getting a shot blocked back in your face.
Yep.
I think the potential for the most individual embarrassment may be in the NBA.
But that's,
for me, it would be hockey just because I can't skate. That would be really bad.
That said, I think you have the best shot to score and look halfway decent in the NBA. Because they're going to leave you open.
Landrum does, because we know how well he shoots from the outside. So he would just be...
Yeah, kick it in the corner. Just make sure you're... Yeah,
that's it.
Kick in the corner.
He would be...
He'd probably be one for one. But hey, that's show up on the stat line.
If I make that first one, I'm going out with an ankle injury. I'm done. NBA career's over. I'm out. Thank you.
Why wouldn't you just want to keep going? You've already hit 22 in a row. Why wouldn't you want to go for it again?
To have your career lifetime stats in the NBA, 1,000%.
But you could have it 22 for 22.
I'm not sure that my...
Steph can't say
that.
What
kind of offense are we running? Who are my teammates? Are they going to find open looks in the corner? I'm just going to stay in the corner. I'm not even going to play defense. I'm just going to stay in the corner. Wait for it.
If you had to tee off in front of a gallery like PGA,
hell
guys
no.
Do.
No. Somebody's taking one in the face. That's going to end badly.
See, I think you would just probably dribble it 4 feet in front of you.
No.
That's probably what I would do. I don't think most people...
As far as nerve-wracking,
yeah, I don't think most people would even get the ball clean enough to, like, duck hook it right into the crowd, to the gallery. I think you would just, like, ka-ding, and just roll 4 feet
forward. I don't drink liquor anymore. But I would have to have several shots before getting up there just to calm my nerves.
Would you be able to make it a solid swing, or would you look like Barkley?
No, it'd be solid.
Even with all that crowd around
you? The thing that I would worry about the most is either the dribbler or the whiff.
Yeah. I'd probably hope for the whiff just so I didn't...
Kill somebody?
So I didn't take it in the face.
That's my thing. I'm going to ask everybody to just back up.
You guys got to move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody back up.
This is going to end poorly. Just get out of the way.
What is the ceiling for this Auburn basketball team? It's kind of been up and down. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster in how we view this team. They continue to get it done at home. And coming back and the way that they win, that's been impressive in itself. But there's still warts, as Bruce Pearl would say, deficiencies. What would be considered a disappointment based on your expectations of this team? What they lost, what you thought you were getting, what would a disappointing season be for this Auburn Tigers as far as how they finish, where they finish?
I think for me, it would be losing a first-round game in either tournament, the SEC tournament or the NCAA tournament. And as far as what the ceiling is, it's when we had this exact conversation last week, it hadn't changed too much for me. I said winning two games in the NCAA tournament. You heard Farnham say that he thinks they can be a Sweet 16 team on the show. You can catch that podcast at jocksfm.com. I feel like that might be a bit of a stretch, but I feel like two wins is very possible in the NCAA tournament, and it's a little bit hard to tell, similar to what we said last week when we discussed this, as far as how high could Auburn go, what's the ceiling of this basketball team, and that is that we don't see them with Okoro right now. That's obviously going to change things. So how does he look when he comes back? What's his conditioning like when he comes back? And how many minutes is he able to give him when he comes back? Is he the same player? I think that impacts how I would view the ceiling for this Auburn basketball team as well.
I think disappointing for me would be if they didn't win a game in either tournament. If they went home first game at the SEC, or if they didn't advance after the first game of the NCAA tournament. Just because this team has proven, man, that they're so tough to knock off. They're almost that snake. You got to cut the head off the snake just to make sure that they're dead. They're always in every game. And I think we'll have a better understanding, guys, when Isaac comes back, how far that maybe he can take them or help lead them. Just because this is where they are as a program, to the point where if they don't accomplish something, it's a disappointment, and that's a testament to what Bruce Pearl's done there, to what he's built there. That you're disappointed if you get to the NCAA tournament and you don't get a win. I mean, there's a time not too long ago where Auburn would have been thrilled just to make the trip. It's not about making trips anymore. That's in the rear view. Bruce has set the bar higher, and it continues to grow every year with the way he recruits. I think you have a right to be, as a fan, sort of be disappointed if you don't win at least one game in the NCAA tournament. If you make the second weekend, man, that's a pretty damn good coaching job by Bruce.
To me, the ceiling for Auburn would be the Sweet 16. It would be a disappointment if they were not able to win a game in the NCAA tournament. I could see them getting to the second round, but getting to the Sweet 16, I think that would be a bonus. If you look at Joe Lunardi in the latest bracketology, there still is a 4 seed, but he's got a matched up in the Midwest Regional, taking on a 13 seed Stephen F. Austin. If you haven't seen that team play, they shoot the ball really well. They shoot the ball at almost 50% as a team. 50%. So you get a team like that that can really shoot it. Auburn does not shoot it well. They can have some serious matchup problems.
Well, and I think the expectations would change for maybe more so for basketball fans who watch more than Auburn or SEC basketball, depending on what the draw is. I mean, did your expectations change when you saw last year's draw?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a team last year that we thought, oh, man, they're hot. They can go on a run. And then all of a sudden you saw the bracket and you said, if they win two, this would be really good.
Who did they make mad really was your good. First reaction. Who did they make mad?
So I think the draw probably determines a little bit of what the expectation is, but I think Aaron makes a great point. It's a good thing for Auburn basketball that the expectation is not to just go win one game. It's a good thing for Auburn basketball fans are disappointed if they only win two in the NCAA tournament. It's a good thing for Auburn basketball if fans are disappointed that they don't make a run to the Elite Eight or the Final Four, because the bar has been lifted. The expectation's different, and Bruce would want it that way. He would want that expectation to be that. Now, the unrealistic expectation of, hey, you're going to go out and win every game and to be mad at players or want coaches fired, if that doesn't take place, that's different. But to expect it, to want it, to have that desire, and more important, to have the real belief that team can accomplish those things. And that's, to me, that's the ultimate difference. I get asked this question sometimes. When I was in Bristol, I bumped into Reese Davis, and he and I were talking Auburn basketball for a minute. And he goes, man, it's crazy because we haven't seen this since, you know, those Cliff Ellis teams with Chris Porter and you know, some of those guys and Damian Fishback. And he asked me kind of what I thought the difference was. And I said, I don't know how many people then really believed that team could make a run to the Elite Eight or the Final Four or maybe win a national championship. People actually believed that last year. There have been times this year that people believe that. To me, that's the biggest difference in what Auburn basketball is now than maybe what it's ever been before.
Porter, welcome to Three Man Front.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Good. Real quick question before I ask you about the Wilder Furry fight. XFL, did you see possibly college probably adopting the kickoff rule in that situation?
Porter, I think both leagues, college and the NFL, will adopt most likely in the next 5 years some semblance of that kickoff rule. Now, just to sort of be out on their own, because they're not going to want to be the league that copied the XFL, it's going to be a little bit different, but it okay. makes too much sense. It's too good. It protects a major part of the fabric of football as we know it, and that is the kickoff. Nobody wants to talk about a game of, hey, when are we going and putting the ball on the 20? I mean, we love kickoffs. It gives you a better chance for explosive plays. We saw the first kick return for touchdown in that game in St. Louis yesterday afternoon, and it makes the game safer. I think it just makes too much sense across the board. You will see it in college and the NFL in some form or fashion in the next 5 years, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I keep it exciting as well, because that can change the pace of games anytime you have a kick return, you know. So hopefully it works out. With this Fury Wilder fight, and my thing is, if you have to, in a sense, resort to what they call AKA dirty boxing, it's kind of almost the semblance of somebody getting hit a second after the bell rings, you know. So, But once again, it's part of the, I guess it's part of the sport. You know, if you just get a point taken off if you get caught too many times. So I guess Wilde's, you know, he's just gone through lick his wounds, come back, and I'm quite sure he wants it bad now for real now.
Yeah, speaking of licking the wounds, how about Fury licking Wilder's face?
Come on, and actually, he didn't actually lick him. Stop.
Dude, were you watching the same fight I was? He licked his face.
No.
He said he was going to taste his blood.
He stuck his tongue out and wiggled his tongue around. He didn't actually lick anything off of his skin.
Instant replay. What did you think, Aaron? Did you not see that?
I didn't watch. I didn't see it close enough to know whether he got the actual blood on his tongue or not. He did do the little snake slither tongue thing.
Which is creepy.
He didn't actually lick him. Come on.
But
going back to the dirty boxing thing, I think we hear that and maybe we think what we would think when we would say, you know, an offensive lineman's playing dirty or has a dirty play, something like that, or a basketball player does something that's dirty, maybe, you know, going for a rebound, trying to post a guy up. To me, I think dirty boxing has a little bit of a different meaning. I think dirty boxing is something that just kind of, it's more stylistic. And to me, the point got taken away because Fury more so disobeyed the referee than actually did things against the rules. That's my opinion. But I don't view dirty boxing as somebody who's doing cheating, so to speak. I just think it's a style of boxing that's made, that's really meant to frustrate your opponent. And I think it worked. You can show me the replay all day. I don't think he actually licked anything off of Deontay Wilder. His tongue didn't touch him.
Looks like, yeah, he's trying to lick his neck there. And
you have it paused. He's 4 inches away from his shoulder.
But I knew that I was seeing that right. No, he actually, I think he licked his, look at that. Like slow-mo. Come
on,
man.
He's not touching him.
Yeah. Oh, he is touching him. Which I've never slowed this down to watch another man lick another man's neck.
Sure, yeah.
In my life. No, it's right there at the Daily Mail. It's making headlines all around the world.
Daily what?
Daily Mail.
Okay. You sure that's the right website?
Yeah. That's M-A-I-L.
Oh.
Yeah. Different spelling.
People think of M-A. I don't know why you emphasize that one.
Mine in the
I think it's a crucial moment in Deontay's career going forward. I think Tyson Fury said it best after the fight that Deontay Wilder showed the heart of the champion. He got hurt early in the fight, continued to fight, would not give up, and that he thinks he will be back, and he thinks he'll be champion again. But I don't know right now if I'm advising him that I want him to fight Fury right away.
Mm-mm.
Three-man front. Weekdays 10 till 2 on Jocks 94.5, JocksFM.com, and the Jocks mobile app.